Good morning, everybody. Hogman the Watchman here. Pastor Mike here. Another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation 12. I've got a lot of notes on this part here. We're going to deal with the issue of the travailing woman. You see that in Revelation 12, 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, upon her head a crown of 12 stars. So we're looking at this issue of a woman. And as we had mentioned before, and even something that I have preached in the church services here lately, it's just sort of opened up in the scriptures. This idea of the church being a woman, Israel being a woman. You think of the story of Ruth and Naomi. It's a perfect, perfect picture of that. But then also we have Jerusalem above, which is free. Sarah is a picture of that. And this woman gives birth. The soul of man is characterized and pictured in the scriptures as a woman. Romans 7 talks about that, the woman being married to the man. The man is his flesh. It's very wicked. It's like Nabal, actually, in 1 Samuel 25. And my soul is like Abigail. The Bible talked about Psalm 34. The Bible uses the phrase her in relation to the human soul. And so there is this beautiful, beautiful picture that is arising as we study the words of the Word of God. And so now we look in verse 2, and we see that she, this woman, is with child. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Now, what I can tell you is, I'm already looking at this verse again, thinking of some other ways that I could study this thing out, like look at women that are crying, look at the phrase pain to be delivered, or the phrase delivered, because what I did was just go through the scriptures and look at the pictures and the prophecies concerning a woman that is in travail. The most obvious, the first place we're going to go is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and chapter 5. We have the travailing woman in 1 Thessalonians 5, but the teaching of 1 Thessalonians 4 concerning the translation groups right in with that. It butts in with that. Listen to the flow of the text. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, we count, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. There's five things here. If you want to make a note, if you're keeping track here and making notes, write Matthew 25, that's 5 times 5, and write in the five virgins, all right, because that's a picture. Also write in Abigail, 1 Samuel 25, because she is loosed from her first husband by his death, with the tins all over it and the stone. That's so pretty. And then she goes to marry the shepherd, the king of the Jews, David, with her five damsels. And that's all that part of that picture that goes with it. The dead. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Think of I'm just going through all these fives in my Bible. The 5 months that the waters prevailed on the earth. In the days of Noah. Think about what Jesus said, the days of Noah. There's 5 months there, 150 days. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The word comfort is a Holy Ghost term, and it also applies the word comfort, I believe, 66 times in the King James Bible. 66 books here. So we're to comfort one another with the words of the Word of God, because of what we see in 1 Thessalonians 5. We'll go right into the next chapter. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Times and seasons of what? When the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel, trump of God, dead in Christ rise there, reads live may reign. The five things here. Of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord. Study that phrase, day of the Lord. If I remember right, I may be wrong. You can check me. King James Pure Bible Search software, download it. 25 times, I think, I might be wrong on that, 25 times the phrase Day of the Lord. You can check it out and see. So cometh as a thief in the night. Now, let me just throw something in here just to kind of help you, okay? The Day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. As it was in the days of Noah, as Jonas. So that word as, it means something. It ties a future event in with a past event. I have a problem reconciling in my mind that Christ is a thief. And I know he says, behold, I come as a thief. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think the King James Bible ever quotes Christ as saying, behold, I am a thief. Okay? I don't think that it ever says that. So I don't believe that Christ is a thief. I know who the thief is. All right? The one who comes in another way, except by the door of the sheepfold, he is a thief and a robber. So I know who the thief is that's coming in the night, but we're children of the day. But his coming is as that thief in the night. And I think that there is going to be an event, a happening, that is going to take place where the Antichrist is going to be revealed. But so is Christ to those who are looking for him. We'll know who that is. We'll know who that Antichrist is too. So cometh as a thief in the night, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Here it is. There's that word as right there. One of the most important words in understanding how God relates to you, prophecy. As travail upon a woman with child. Well, here we have, right here. We have she being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. This absolutely, I have no doubt in my mind that this right here, 1 Thessalonians 5, and this part of chapter 4 is related to Revelation 12, 2. I see it very clearly. The connections are there. He said it as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Something, and I may be wrong on this, but something to watch for. I know the world is getting bad, and it looks like wars and everything else. For when they shall say peace and safety, I think that I would look for it to get good before it gets bad again. There's just a little theory I have. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. So I don't believe that Christ is the thief. And I've heard all these theories where people are saying, oh, you got to go back and look at the Jewish marriage ceremony, which is not in the Bible. It's not there. Because in the Jewish wedding ceremony, the bridegroom comes in, and like a thief, he goes in through the window and steals the bride away. I'll be honest with you, I have a problem with that. I got a big problem with that. Number one, it's not scriptural. It's not in the Bible. Number two, it typifies Christ then as a thief, and that's not true as far as the bride is concerned. As far as anything's concerned, he's never stole anything. But especially with the bride, he does not steal the bride. We have been bought and paid for. We have been redeemed, ransomed. A debt has been paid on our behalf. So he doesn't have to steal us. He owns us. The bill of sale is right here. It's all very clear. But that day, we are to be not in darkness, but in the light, in the day, that day should not overtake you as a thief. Ye are the, and get this, look at the language of the King James Bible. Ye are all the children of light. That means you're our generation of light. A light birthed you. Okay? So you go back and look at Revelation 12. She's clothed with the sun. This woman is clothed with the sun. And what that does is that makes us children, literally, in a literal sense, children of the light and children of the day. She is clothed with the sun. She has the moon under her feet, so she has dominion over that. It's like you can see the moon first thing in the morning, but that sun comes up, shines in his strength, the moon's gone. It's there, but you can't see it. That is the sun taking dominion over the moon. You're children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. And if you keep reading that, you'll see that drunk people like Benny Hinn, okay, and Rodney Howard Brown and Kenneth Copeland and all of these drunkards who are running around, oh, get drunk in God, they are children of darkness. They are. They don't have the light in them. They can brag of all they want to about, I got the Holy Ghost, I got drunk. They're children of darkness. I did a meeting for the Club O Prophecy, and I talked about it in the Da Vinci Code, talked about the cup, the Holy Grail, and that cup is Babylon, and it makes you drunk. And I went on for, 30, 40 minutes just about spiritual drunkenness. And had somebody come to me after a meeting. Now, my wife and I were talking. Obviously, you've never been drunk in the spirit. Yeah, it is obvious. It's very obvious to me that I've never been that way and don't intend on it. Anyway. So look at it. We are children of the light. That's because our mother is clothed with the sun. Daytime. So just look at the literalness of Scripture rather than, well, that's spiritual talk. And when people use the term, well, that means that spiritually. That, you know what that means when they say that? That really doesn't mean anything. Okay, that's just spiritual talk. It's to make us think about something. That's a metaphor. I think it's literal. I think this Bible, I think God uses plainness of speech. That's what Paul said. We use plainness of speech and not as Moses. You can see the metaphors in the Old Testament. You can see the types and the shadows and Moses having a speech impediment. That's why the Old Testament is not understood, because Moses couldn't speak right. But now in the New Testament, the light shines on it all, and we see it all clearly now, all right? And so we are literally the children of light because we can see the plainness of speech in the Scripture, and I believe that what this Bible says, it means exactly what it says in a literal fashion. And if this is, you say, well, but what about this and what about that? Just ponder that, okay? Just think about that. Because what happens when people start looking at, well, that's a spiritual meaning, and that's a metaphor. Let me show you what the metaphor means. That means that they can go outside of the bounds of Scripture and give you a doctrine. And that's not what's being said in the Scripture. That's not what it is. Or you hear a doctrine and you say, no, wait a minute, the Bible says this. They can say, look, that's a metaphor. That's spiritual talk. That's what they told Brady for years in the Jehovah's Witness cult. Brady, that's just spiritual talk, which basically means shut up and listen to us. It means nothing. Move along. That's what it means. So anyway, just ponder that. If the Bible says you're all children of the light, that, and children of the day, that means she gave birth to us. It's like Isaiah 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? You say, okay, son of the morning. That's a name given to him. That's all spiritual. There you go again. There's all spiritual talk. That's a metaphor. Do you know the Bible says the morning has a womb? Go look it up. Type in morning and womb. You'll find it. I think it's in the book of Psalms. I believe what this book says. Anyway, moving right along, I got tons of notes here. I won't get this done today. So now we tie in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5 in with Revelation 12 because of the birthing that's taking place. And I think, and I shared this with you a while ago, I think that there is a dual birthing. I think two babies are going to be born. I think the one is from heaven. I think the other is from beneath the earth. They come in two different directions. All right? It's just a theory that I have, and I'm going to show you from the Scriptures why I believe what I believe. Let's go back to Genesis 35:15. The Bible says, "And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him Bethel. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. Does that sound familiar to you? Does that ring a bell? Bethlehem Ephrathah. That's Bethlehem. It's where Christ was what? Born. So here we have a story of a child being born in Ephrathah. And Rachel, there's the word, travailed, and she had hard labor. She being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. There's a connection here. Verse 17, and it came to pass when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. Now remember, Rachel has already delivered Joseph. Joseph is a type of Christ at his first coming. Her second son is a type of Christ at his second coming. What is his name? Ben-Yamin. Benjamin. What does that mean? Ben means son. Yamin means right hand, son of the right hand. Where's Christ at right now? He's at the right hand of the Father. All right? So anyway, and he's coming again. And it came to pass, she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died. Her soul, there's a picture there, that she called his name Ben-Oni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. See it? So here we have a picture of a baby born in Bethlehem, a woman crying in travail. I'm not positive. I would say that the death of Rachel here signifies the end of the old covenant and a new point of grace or a new time of grace to Israel. That's just a guess of mine. See if you can come up with something better, okay? All right, anyway, Genesis 38:27. We have another travailing woman, but this woman having twins. Okay? Genesis 38:27, and it came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed that one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first. Who was that? That was Zerah. And it came to pass as he drew back his hand that, behold, his brother came out, and she said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore his name was called Perez. Perez means breach. Perez Uzzah. In the days when the Ark of the Covenant was being brought to Jerusalem the first time, there was a breach, the breach of Uzzah. Uzzah put his hand, because they were bringing in the Ark the wrong way. Uzzah put his hand out to stabilize the Ark, and God killed him. So it was the breach of Uzzah. In other words, the ark couldn't go in at that time. Look at this picture. This picture is, we have Zerah, who breaks forth the womb. He actually is the firstborn. But what did he do? He drew back. Paul said, we are not as of those who draw back under perdition. He drew back. They put a scarlet cord on there, which was showing that he was the firstborn. He gets the prize, the covenant. He gets the blessing. But his hand drew back, and then Perez breached that. And so now Perez is fully born. And then afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zerah. Christ's first coming, this is Judah, and this is Tamar giving birth. Christ's first coming was not from the line of Zerah of Judah. It was from the line of Perez, the breach. His first coming signified a breach in the covenant with Israel. God, they breached the contract is what they did. Israel broke the contract. God said, I divorce you. And we cannot ever be remarried again. Now, you can be remarried after I die. And so he did at his first coming. Now Israel can be remarried. And so the picture of Perez and Zerah is the breach. Zerah, scarlet cord. Remember what saved Rahab the harlot, scarlet cord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. Scarlet like the blood of Christ. Set aside over here Zerah was set aside. Now Pharez, the Gentile kingdom, the Gentile bride, the Gentile church. Now we take the blessings. But there's going to come a time when this baby's going to be born. Zerah. And when he comes out, it's going to be a sign to everybody. This really is the firstborn son. Oh, it's so beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful picture. Now we have, let me check my notes here. Yeah, we're going to go back to Genesis. In fact, let's do that. Let's go to Genesis 25. I'm going to show you another set of twins that are born. But they are not alike. You know, we have identical twins. Brady and Bradley, identical twins. And when they were 16 years old, when I first met them, I'm going, I don't know who you are. Okay? I remember pulling up to their driveway the first time I met them. I talked to them several times. And both these two identical boys come walking at me, and I'm going, okay, who's who? Okay? Now I can tell them apart. They've grown. Their facial features changed a little bit, stature and everything like that. It's kind of funny. But then we also have twins that are not identical. All right? Two different types of people, two different characters, two different personalities. So we have Genesis 25, 23. The Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. I like this. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, and behold, there were twins in her womb, the first came out red, like crimson, all over like an hairy garment. How did Jacob pretend to be Esau? He took animal fur. There's a skin condition, hypertrichosis, I think. If you've ever seen the lion boy or the wolf boy at the circus, there was actually a guy in the circus 100 years ago, something like that. He was hairy all over. There's a guy right now, I think, down in Mexico. He has like fur all over his body. He looks like a beast, an animal. That's Esau, okay? A great red dragon. Here we have Esau being red. And remember what God said. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. I believe that he's referring to these two nations. One is the nation of the children of God, the children of light and of the day. The other is the children of darkness, the children of the night. And so the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau, which means like red. And after that came his brother out, and let me stop right here. I'm running through my mind, Edom as well. Edom is similar to the word Adam, because they both relate to the redness of what? The earth, dirt. And so here we get another picture here. We have one who is born of this world, and another who is born of heaven. Because God had already chosen Jacob while they were still in the womb. He had already chosen, his election had already chosen Jacob over Esau. So, and verse 26, and after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 60, that's 80 years old, when she bare them. And so here's what I see. I think, we're studying this travailing woman and themes of travailing woman. And for us, the birth is great. But for the rest of the world, it's bad. It's very bad. And you'll see that. I think two children are born. I think the new body of Christ and Christ at his second coming, that's what this birthing is. And also, the earth has a womb full of seawater, just like a woman. And she's going to give birth to the beast, the Antichrist, the man of sin. Here we have the mystery of godliness, Christ. We have here the mystery of iniquity. And we have that, I believe, typified in Jacob and Esau, because God loves Jacob. but he hates Esau. And that kind of makes more sense now when you stop. I thought, didn't know God hated anybody. Well, he hates Esau. He hates this red, furry beast creature that's born. He hates that. He hates the sin. He hates things of this earth, the flesh. That's why the flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so this is kind of what I see here. Now, I've said all that as we go to 1 Samuel chapter 4. If we were to open our Bibles up, and you've seen me do this before, but in case you're just kind of catching on to this, let's open our Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to see a picture of the doctrine of 2 Thessalonians 2. I love seeing this stuff. Here in 2 Thessalonians 2, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that's our gathering, that's the body coming together, the translation, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. It's not necessary to let anybody deceive you, because we have such a magnificent book that has this doctrine illustrated for you in black and white so that you can see what it looks like. So that somebody says, now, let me tell you what this is. In the original Greek, what this really says is this. And people are doing this right and left. They're retranslating and altering the text of the Scriptures to make it say what they want it to say. And so he said, don't let anybody deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a... So we're going to look for something to fall... Falling away first, and then that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. There's going to be a revelation of a man of sin. And he says the son, a birth of perdition. All right? So you write that down. Destruction, death, hell. The son of perdition. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So we're going to look for a falling, a revelation of a son, and something to be taken. 1 Samuel 4. You open your Bible up, you look at verse 17. What was taken out of the way? What was taken? The Ark of the Covenant. What does the Ark represent? Number one, it represents God's throne, His dominion. It has the law in its inward parts. It has the blood. It is the mercy seat of God. That was taken away from Israel. That is going to be that mercy is going to be taken off. Does God ever take mercy away from people? Yeah. He took it from Saul. Remember what he said to David. He said, the son comes out of your loins is going to be my son, and I will be his father and he will be my son. And my mercy will I, if he sins, I'll chasten him. I'll whoop the fire out of him. I'll get him good. But my mercy will I not take from him as I took it from Saul. God took mercy from Saul. Why? He quit believing. And when you look in 2 Thessalonians 2, you see, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And the previous verse says, they love not the truth that they might be saved. Saul is typical of this generation of people who love not the truth, and therefore they're going to believe a lie. And God's going to take his mercy away from them. So, let's look at 1 Samuel 4, verse 17. And the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas. The number 2 indicates the time of the Gentiles. 2 days. 2,000 years. 2 testaments. Israel, when they're about ready to go into the Promised Land, following Joshua, the Ark of the Covenant goes before them, like this. The Ark of the Covenant goes ahead of them, and then 2,000 cubits behind, Israel follows in. Isn't that neat? I think that's in the book of Joshua. Go find that. I read that, and I just stunned and amazed at it. All right? But anyway, Hophni and Phinehas are dead, and the ark of God is taken. So now I believe that we're looking at the end of the Gentile age. It's over with. And God's mercy is going to be taken away from the Gentiles. He's now going to give it back to Israel. It's like the mantle. The mantle fell from Elijah when he was taken up. Now it's given to Elisha, who goes and has the double portion of the Spirit. And it came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God that he fell. There's our falling right there. Fell from off the seat backward. He was slain in the Spirit. Ooh, praise God. I say that facetiously. By the side of the gate, and his neck broke, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy. He's a fat old man. He fell backward, slain in the Spirit, and he broke his neck. And he judged Israel 40. There's that fourth kingdom mentioned there. 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife. Here we have a woman. But she's not a good woman. She's Phinehas' wife. Phinehas is a thief. He was stealing food. He was sitting at the gate, taking an illegal portion of the meal and the flesh that was brought into the temple, tabernacle. He was taking an illegal portion. He was a thief. He was an adulterer. He was everything else. I mean, just see this spoiled, rotten kid grown up to be a man, and he sees these women walking by to come to do tabernacle stuff. He ends up sleeping with them. Then he steals what he shouldn't. And so you know what that did? That discouraged people from even bringing sacrifices now. Why should I take it over there? Phinehas is just going to steal it. Hophni and Phinehas both. So they quit. And I'll say this. Hophni and Phinehas are a type of the pastors of this age who are adulterers, liars, fornicators, and thieves. And so you've got people out there with some common sense not to fall for this garbage. A lost man can spot these wolves a mile away. They say, why should I go to that church? Why should I go to church, give my hard-earned money for that guy to just spend it? A church in this town, the pastor was taking church money and paying off his mistress. Anyway, Phinehas' wife, she is... she's married to an evil man, she's married to a thief, was with child. So now the thief is going to, he sired a child. Now we're going to have a son of Belial, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband was dead, she bowed herself and travailed. Get that. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed. Isn't that so sweet? So, after she hears the ark of God has been taken, then she goes into her travailing. She bowed herself. You've seen a woman. You've probably seen your wife bowing herself in travail. For her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, fear not, thou hast borne a son. Remember what the midwife said to Rachel, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. Almost identical, the same words. I love the King James Bible. Man, you can't beat it for how it says things. It is literally three unknown tongues, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. It is three unknown tongues bound up in one interpretation, one translation. Oh, it's so beautiful. So they're telling her, fear not, for thou hast born a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. Why? Because she died. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, because her father, I may be wrong, maybe she didn't die. She named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, because her father-in-law and her husband, they fell. See, her husband fell too. They fell in the war. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. So now the man of sin is being revealed. And that's because God has pulled his mercy now off of the Gentile world. And he's going to restore it. Zerah is going to be born. Okay, the child of promise is going to be born. The firstborn. is going to come, and Israel is going to receive her blessing again. The bride of Christ joins with Christ, his body. That's that birth there, the heavenly birth. And then now we have the age of the Antichrist coming. He's now been revealed because he was hidden in the womb and you couldn't see him. Now he's revealed. I made this illustration because Lindsay, my oldest daughter, this was her second child. And they wanted this to be special after the death of our first granddaughter, Adeline. So they wouldn't tell anybody his name. I kept calling him Jeffro, like from Beverly Hillbillies. And it wasn't until we were there at the hospital, we didn't get to go back. She had a C-section. And Antonio sent us pictures. Oh, he's so cute. Oh, my goodness. And I'm going, name. Got to have a name here. Finally, he said, Uriah Antonio Higgs. And I'm going, that's out of the Bible. And I'm looking it up, you know. And so anyway, now he's revealed. Now the child is revealed. I know who this child is now. Right now, he's hidden. Nobody knows who it is. He's still in the womb. He's not been revealed yet. But he's going to be. All right? Let's look at a few more in the time that we're going to spend. I'm going to end up in Isaiah 13. Psalm 7, verse 11, the Bible says, God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. That's Esau. Then down in 14, Psalm 7, 14, behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief. Look at the words here, the birthing words. Let me throw another one in here. Lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So lust conceives a child. And it's that child is the sin, the man of sin. And then, so lust when it's conceived bringeth forth sin. Sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. That is the picture of the birth of the man of sin. So here we have another one. We have, he travaileth with iniquity. He's talking about the wicked. That wicked shall be revealed. He said in 2 Thessalonians. The wicked who God is angry with and he hates them, they travail with iniquity, because they conceived in mischief and brought forth falsehood. He's not the true, incorruptible word. He is the false, corruptible word. Because of the seed that he was conceived with. When you, your soul, when you are born again, truly born again, that seed is incorruptible, which means it cannot be corrupted. But there is, let's look at 1 Peter 1:23. I have to sing the song sometimes in my head. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not a corruptible seed. This beast, this Antichrist, has already died. But he is awaiting his resurrection. We've covered that. He's got a deadly wound, but that wound is healed. He's restored. He's resurrected. He's going to be born again of corruptible seed. That corruptible seed shows up in Genesis chapter 3 with the 46 words that the serpent spoke. Yea, hath God said. See how it attaches itself to the word of God. Yea, hath God said. Ye shall not surely die. Now it's a lie, for God doth know. Now it's a mystery religion, that in the day you there, then your eyes shall be opened. Now it's an awakening, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's what this is, being born again, not a corruptible seed. That's what corruption and corrupt preaching and corrupt Bibles produce. Good trees do not produce corrupt fruit, and corrupt trees do not produce good fruit. That is a biblical principle. But of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So one genders unto death, like Hagar and Mount Sinai. One genders unto life. And I know I'm giving you a lot, but I want you to just kind of think in these terms of how the Bible is illustrating both the revelation of Christ in the last days and the revelation of Antichrist in the last days. So in Psalm 7 again, we have a travailing taking place, a birth is about ready to happen. because a child has been conceived in mischief and brought forth falsehood. He's a lie. And so 2 Thessalonians again tells us that in verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. This Antichrist is going to come up and they're going to go, that's our Savior. That's who he is. We worship him. I think he's going to look like the pictures of Jesus. Then in verse 15 it says, he made a pit and digged it and has fallen into the ditch which he made. I like it. He's going to go back into the pit. Now Isaiah 13. We're going to end with this for today. Let's look at Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13 is it's a picture of Babylon. And so we have, remember the two women that we have, that we're dealing with. We have the good woman, the pure woman, like Sarah. She's free. She is a virtuous woman. She is wisdom in the book of Proverbs. She is Abigail in 1 Samuel 25. She is a picture of the virgin soul, the pure woman, the good woman. All right? Then we have the wine glass and the cigarette in her hand, harlot woman. Okay? She's a bad woman. She lies, she gossips, she sleeps around, she uses her wiles to get her way. She's a witch. She subverts manly authority. That's who she is. And that's what Babylon is. She's a mystery. She's not about revelation. She's about mystery religions. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations. She's a mother. She is a mother. She has birthed other girls, other daughters. And Ezekiel 16 says, there's a proverb here, as the mother is, so is the daughters. Okay? So all of the churches that have been born of Mystery Babylon all have mystery doctrines. Let me tell you what it looks like in the Protestant church, that is the non-Catholic churches. In the original languages, what the Bible really says is this. In other words, you would have not had it known to you had the Nicolaitan not delivered it to you. Nico means to conquer. Laetane is the laity. And we have mystery religions. We have, like Kenneth Copeland. Oh, God gave me a vision last night. Ooh, God gave me a dream. And now he has this special revelation that no one else has. And you got to pay for it. You got to give him money to get that revelation. That's a harlot, pure and simple. So now we get this understanding. Isaiah 13 is about Babylon and her baby, her birth. So let's look at it. Isaiah 13:6. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. See that? What did we say? The day of the Lord here. The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. 2 Thessalonians 2. By the coming of our Lord, the day of Christ. All right? So we have the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. The destroyer is going to be born. Apollyon and Abaddon, the king of the bottomless pit rising up. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. That's what, you know, the New Testament says, men's hearts failing them for fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows. Sorrows, the word sorrow is related to travailing. If you want to make a list of words to study, what did we say a while ago? Look at the something being delivered, brought forth, pained or pain. Pangs, P-A-N-G-S, and sorrows. Look at all those words in the Bible. Study those. Get the software and study those words all throughout the Scripture. Just get an idea for the whole Bible of what it's saying. Don't just cookie cut it and say, well, that's not for us. God's going to teach you the whole counsel of God as you study the whole Scriptures. You're going to get an understanding of what he's referring to here. Shall take hold of them, and they shall be in pain. There's that word, pain again, as a woman that travaileth. Again, this is right with 1 Thessalonians 5. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them. There it is, right there. The day of the Lord and destruction and a woman travailing. Isaiah 13. And this really This is how God opened the book to me. Because when God called me into this ministry, 1997, I had not even, God had not really confirmed that the King James was the Word of God at that time. But what God started doing was, I remember just, God said, let's study prophecy. Okay, I'm going to go buy some books by the, you know, Tim LaHaye. And no, God said, no. I want you to study this book. Lord, where do I start? Just start reading. I'll show it to you. Prior to that, I had a hard time studying, especially the prophets, the Old Testament. Because I'm going, why? Because I went to Bible college. Why do I need to know this? This has all been passed. No, and so I was reading in Isaiah 13. I'm studying Babylon. And I saw in Isaiah 13 that destruction was coming as a travail upon a woman with child. And I went, I never knew that that passage of 1 Thessalonians 5 was mirrored in the Old Testament. I never knew that. Never heard it preached on. Maybe it was and I just don't remember. But I never knew that. And I went. And I was looking. I was comparing. And God was teaching me, Mike, there's like a billion more of this all throughout the Scriptures. The nun shall want her mate. They all connect together, Mike. I'm going to give you understanding this way. I'm going to show you how. And so at that point, God just opened literally the floodgate in my mind of how to see this Bible as a whole connected thing revealing the last days. So, as a woman that travaileth, they shall be amazed one at another. Notice this phrase here, their faces shall be as flames. Well, that's, see, Pastor, obviously that is a metaphor and a symbol. Does it literally mean that their faces are going to be flames? Really? And you know this? How? Because I think their faces are going to be as flames, the people of the earth. How? Let's look at something that we know and that you may not have made the connection to. Gnosticism. Kabbalah, all these mystery religions, now it's moving into the church. They're all talking about this spark of divinity that you have in you. Guess who that is? Guess who Sparky is here? Okay? It's the Antichrist. You have this spark of divinity deep inside of you. And what's it waiting on? It's going to arise in a full what? Flame of divinity. Now you'll be a god. In a flame, like a phoenix. Something, listen to the words now, something is going to kindle that flame. What are these people walking around reading all the time? A kindle. Okay? If you start looking, you'll see references to the divine spark coming up to a full flame. It's even in the church being taught this. So I believe their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. So right here we have what I believe is a connection to Joel 2, Acts 2, the second outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Matthew 24. That's what I see. I may be wrong, okay? I may be wrong. But that's the connection that I see. I see, just follow me here. We know that this is, we know 1 Thessalonians 5 associated with the translation, and it references the day of the Lord. And we are not children of the night, we're children of the day. So there's going to be a birthing taking place, a travailing woman. Back here, Isaiah 13, we see a travailing woman. She's going to give birth to a flame beast, okay? A phoenix. She's going to give birth to that, and it's going to be associated with the wrath and destruction. That's Abaddon, Polion, the destroyer. That's who that's a picture of. And at that time, the stars of heaven and the constellations shall not give their light. The the sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her, his and her, light to shine. And you look at Joel 2 and Acts 2, and that is precisely what you see there. So forgive me if I'm in error some way in what I'm seeing, but I absolutely see that these are all connected together. All right? We still have quite a few places in Scripture. I had a lot of fun. My goodness. We do have a lot, long way to go on this. But I had a lot of fun putting this together. It was a joy. It was a revisiting of things I'd studied. It is new things that I had not seen before. And I hope you get a blessing. So study. Do the study on your own as we go into, like, next week. Study travailing women. Study travail. Study pangs. Pain. Things delivered. Things brought forth. Study those in the Bible and fill your mind with Bible wisdom. A pure Bible. And God will bless you with it. I promise you will. All right? This is Pastor Mike. God bless you. It's been a joy to be with you today. Keep us in your prayers always. We always need it. Thank you for the encouragement and the help that you give. May God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.